Sexual problems are extremely common in everyday life. In fact, it's estimated that 30 to 40% of all Australians experience sexual difficulties. Unfortunately, they can also result from cancer treatment. The good news is that most sexual problems are temporary, and there are plenty of short-term and long-term solutions. Dr. Gareth Merriman is a practicing sex therapist, and he's also director of the Sexuality and Relationship Therapy Centre in Perth. Because he has a lot of useful and pertinent information to share, this is quite a long track. If you want to scan through, we start talking about solutions to sexual problems at about 4 minutes 30. We discuss ways to get over libido loss at 6 minutes 40, orgasm troubles at 8 minutes 40, erectile dysfunction at 11 minutes 40, and vaginal dryness at 14 minutes 40. To start with, Gareth, can you list for us the most common sexual problems cancer patients might experience?
One of the things really important to know is that people have their own sort of individual issues which might come up. They could be relationship issues, etc. But lots of common ones are fatigue, right, through treatment, through just the worry sometimes about stuff. You know, you worry about your partner, so it can be fatigue for a partner as well, but the person who's actually living with cancer, it's often about fatigue related to the issue. People need to talk to their doctors about that as well. I think when we talk about quite specifically sex and the big issue about libido, it's often a lack of libido. People don't have the energy. It's also probably for people to realize that sometimes you can have an increase of libido and people don't quite understand it. If you are thinking about stuff like ups and downs of libido, that's a normal life issue anyway. So with the weariness, with the sort of worry about treatment, etc., people can just sort of sway a little bit more than normal. So it's about realizing this is a normal part of any grief process, about just deal with it and say, okay, I'm getting through it. The other one, I suppose, which people are really a bit worried about is things like the functioning aspect, you know, to function in terms of a sexual person, men are supposed to have an erection. And, you know, for the people who are listening now, men are more than their penis. They really need to be getting past that and being able to say, well, I'm a whole person, right? Functioning in terms of a sexual person is really dealing with every part of them, their voice, their body, how they think, how they talk to their partner. So when we chat about things like loss of functioning, we're talking about things like a level of erectile dysfunction, often called impotence, but it's not just about it's dead, as we were just saying. It's not a dead thing. It's about there are things which might change, and some of those will come back. Women often talk about things like, you know, I'm drying up. I just don't feel I've got any lubrication. That's a consequence of treatment. We can look at solutions in terms of, you know, gel, etc. with that. But if we just chat about the common ones to start with, some women talk about that it feels like their vagina's shrunk, right? And there's a joke with a number of women I work with saying, oh, my husband will probably like this, but it's hurting now. Now, that's a relationship issue where you need to be able to say, if you're in pain, you're not enjoying something. So really start to think about, you know, if I'm in pain, there's probably something wrong. It can be about the vagina feels like it's shrinking, but it can also be the vaginal walls have started to tighten. Sometimes there's scar tissue, sometimes there's a thinning of the actual vaginal wall, and that can be very painful. So there are women who talk about, I can't even wear tampons at the moment, so thinking of putting something in there, you know, a finger or a penis, it just scares me. And that's another one to look at. It's about people are worried. People are worried about, you know, if I get an erection, I start to have intercourse and I lose my erection, what's it going to be like? So a lot of the stuff which we talk about is linking into the functioning aspect, but it's also the relationship aspect. I think the other one, which is really, really important, is thinking that a lot of these are potentially temporary, right? There are people who have it and they actually realize this scarring is going to be there forever. It's scarring. It's like scarring on the skin, etc. But we also, even in scarring on the skin, we start to realize that that becomes a part of who we are. The issue about when we talk about sexual dysfunction is that it sounds so clinical, like it'll never change. It's always going to be there. It's a dysfunction. I'm failing at something. And another way of saying it is that it's a sexual difficulty, or as some people talk about, it's a sexual opportunity. How do I change now? How do I look at my body and say, I can still perform, it's different?
So we've talked about a lot of the common sexual problems. Yeah. Obviously, solutions are there. Yeah. Let's go through all of those issues and discuss each one, perhaps starting with fatigue. What are some of the solutions there?
I think one of the things, and people don't like this, and it's, you know, I do a lot of sex therapy with couples, but it's also with individuals. People get very busy, right? People are busy with their lives, and a diagnosis comes along about an illness which we have to spend time and dealing with. It adds more to busyness. It adds more to fatigue. It adds to, you know, I have to take this medication. I have to look at my vitamin intake. I need to look at my lifestyle. I need to make sure I'm fit. You need to make time to be intimate. You need to make time to be sensual, and potentially you need to make time to be sexual. Now people go, oh, that's diarising pleasure. And it's about, well, if you're not getting it, you may as well diarise it and try to do it. Where it goes terribly wrong is that people end up saying, okay, so Friday at 11 o'clock, I've got half an hour, so I'll go home, I'll have intercourse, I'll come and I'll feel really good about myself. And all of a sudden, Friday comes along, 11 o'clock, and the son's homesick, right? You know, everything's not working. It's about saying with anything which is around pleasure, sometimes we have to just say we need a night off, right? Fatigue is one of those things that when we are feeling energized, we should use that. And that's not about race to the bedroom. It might be go up and give your partner a hug because it might be the first time you've done it for months. Or say to your partner, look, come and lie with me on the couch and let's cuddle up, right? That's a level of saying, I'm feeling fatigued, but I want you with me. I want you here. A lot of people around the sexual aspect find it so hard to actually say, well, if I show him or I show her any affection, it's going to lead to sex. That's a sexual dysfunction in itself because it's a dysfunction with communication. We need to be able to say, there is something happening for me at the moment. I love you dearly. I want to be sexual with you, but at the moment I'm feeling knackered. I'm feeling so tired, but maybe tomorrow. Let's plan for this. That's men and women. I think the biggest problem we say is that I have to be as energized as I've always been. All of us, you, me, we get tired sometimes. We need to say that's because I've been busy. The fatigue issue will start to go. If you are feeling so much that it's sounding like depression, you're starting to feel like it's depression, you need to talk to your doctor about that because there's a big difference between fatigue and depression. But when you've gone through and you start to say, I'm giving myself a hard time, that's when you need to give yourself time and spend the time and talk to your partner about it. So that's a good one with fatigue.